Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're traveling abroad, and you're in, like, I don't know, Louisiana, and you see another Giants fan. It's just like you're standing in line at something, Café du Monde, whatever, getting some beignets. Like, dude, can't believe Bob Melvin's our manager. Like, that's what you're saying. It's like, I know, bro.
I know.
And then you instantly connect.
I know.
That's the best part about sports, is through all the sadness and heartbreaks, that's how you connect. I don't start off and say, man, how about that Willy Adames? No. Negative first, then we can get to the positive.
It's just called fandom.
Yes.
I'm not going to tell anyone how to be a fan. There are times where I'm super homerific and optimistic, and there's other times I feel like I got kicked in the groin. You know, and that's part of life.
You want some optimism and some fun? Well, you should check out Pier 39 this Saturday, October 4th, because we are tipping off the preseason in style with the preseason special. Live appearances from Festus Ezeli, Zaza Pachulia, Kalena Azubuike, Tim Roy, and our very own Bonte Hill. Plus, get this, your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game on Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors host Luka and the Lakers. And if that's not enough, Evan Giddings and Guru are going to be broadcasting live from 12 to 4. It's hoops, it's hype, and the season's almost here. And your station for everything Warriors, it's 95.7 The Game, Joe.
My mom has probably watched thousands of games. I'm talking CYO, Park and Rec, you know, high school, professional, college,
a lot.
She's watched them all. And she does this thing to me all the time that drives me insane.
Mm.
It's okay, Joe. It's like, Mom, we're collapsing. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We're collapsing and choking away a game, and I am losing my mind. And she's like, it's okay. It's okay. There's another season. There's another game. I'm like, Mom, I love you. I love you. Shut up right now. I don't need it.
You know,
I shouldn't say shut up to my mother, but you know what I'm saying.
No,
like, in my mind,
but that's
I'm
how you're
that.
Feeling it. The great Marianne Spadoni. I love you, Mama. She's doing like a Euro trip right now. She's been in Poland,
it
Germany.
It would drive me insane.
She's going like the Czech Republic. She's doing everything right now. Mama Spadoni living it up.
She hang out with Big Pun?
Maybe. Big Pun out there? No, Big Pun's back. I love Big Pun. He's been hitting us up on social, by the way. I love you some Big Pun. But my mom would always say, whether I'm playing a video game or watching something and my team is losing and I'm getting so angry and yelling and frustrated, she would always say this. Well, why do you do that? Why do you watch it if it's going to make you so angry? Like, Mom, this is part of fandom.
Oh,
I don't know.
No. But she would you should just turn it off. It's making you that angry. Mom, not now. And she would every single
Shut
time.
Up.
And she might be listening right now. But that's how I felt, too. It's like, no, I need to be angry. This is, Mom, you'd rather me doing this or drugs? Pick one, all right? Sorry, I'm doing this.
This is my drug.
This is my drug. Let me have this.
I remember when Kaepernick missed the pass and Baltimore ended up running out of the end zone. Yeah. And anyway, just the whole Super Bowl, I watched it at my mom's house, and I was like preparing, like, hey, we win this, I'm about to party on Mission Street. It's going to be off the hook.
Yeah, and
it's going to be just like 1994, 95. And the way the whole thing went down, she's like, they gave a valiant effort to fight back. And I'm like, Mom, stop it. Stop it. My dad's like, Noreen, stop. Stop talking to him. Leave him alone. Like, and I was just like, I have to leave.
Poor mom's trying to be so nice and positive.
What a valiant comeback.
We don't need that type of positivity.
Almost caught that.
At least they tried.
Yeah, dude, and she meant well because she knew I was like losing my mind. I slammed the door and
Noreen
walked
did
up
have
and down
a point.
Mission Street in silence for hours.
Oh,
and
God.
It was the quietest, saddest Mission
God
Street.
God bless
I
your mom. By the way, Sports Talk.
I love you, Mom.
Sports Talk and Sports Sadness on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. You get that, Carter? Mark that down.
Here's the
cut
thing.
That audio.
Like, I love being happy. I'm generally a happy guy.
Are you?
I think so.
I don't know about that one. Are you generally 888-957-9570? Would you define Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky as genuinely a happy guy?
What, you guys don't think so?
I asked the question. I think you can be. Depends. I think you were at your happiest when there is chaos going on in the Bay Area. That is when you are at your happiness.
So Steiny.
But there's a difference between chaos and absolute just sadness all around, and that's Steiny is the definition of misery loves company.
If you want to know something about me, the thing I despise the most, fake silver lining happiness guy. And you know exactly who you are. And it doesn't have to be sports related. They're always like, it's the Ned Flanders. Oh. I hate the Ned Flanders.
Yeah.
It's okay to yell a little here and there. Like, come on, man. In the words of Guru, sometimes Tupac, that would be me in this scenario, has got to give you, Brenda's got a baby, and sometimes I got to give you hit 'em up. I got to show versatility.
Just compare yourself to Tupac Shakur, ladies and gentlemen, 9:05 a.m.
Yeah, I love Tupac.
By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. An Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and we are brought to you by Fremont Bank, which is here for you and here for good.
But you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, there's always the one friend in the group who's got to be like ultra silver lining guy. Come on, guys. And it's like, dude, shut up. Just shut up. Know the time and place.
I think that's Buddy Hield on the Warriors. He's that guy. He is Captain Positivity. And I think that bothers Jimmy Butler sometimes, which is why they make fun of each other. They go at it. And that's why I love the camaraderie of this team in this makeup. And I hope, as Jonathan Kuminga is flying back today and joining the team tomorrow, it all works out and we could all be buddy-buddy and kumbaya, play the guitar. You got Steve Kerr at the campfire.
Bow, bow, bow.
There you go. Like, that's what I hope everything happens, right? You ever those church like youth group things? Like, you have that young, cool pastor. Is that what Steve Kerr is going to be this year? Or is he going to be the foot up the ass kind of a guy? Get on my level.
What is going on here?
Jana Mountain View's what's going on.
The team can never do no wrong. They're right. And we're winning every Super Bowl.
You know who's always
forever.
Right? Forever. You know who's always right and never wrong? It's Jana Mountain View. Hey, Jan.
Good morning, you two. And listen here. I want to welcome JK back, but I also want Kerr to put him in the best position to succeed. And I heard, the Willard and Dibbs, back in May, where Kerr was talking about, we'll welcome him back and we'll, put him in a position. And I think he should be the sixth man and during training camp and leading up to the first game of the season is to show him what to do and how to correct what he needs to work on and help him out. And you didn't give him the player option, you gave him the team option, which meant that, if I understood correctly, that you want to get the most for him if you trade him. Well, the only way you do that is by playing him and helping him out and getting the player that
Jan,
you want in return for him if you do trade him.
Jan, you listen to this station a lot and I appreciate that. Am I a generally happy guy?
Yes, you are.
Thank you, Jan.
Thank you, Jan of Mountain View. I appreciate the conversation. She just puts a smile on my face. She is the roaster of the year right now, by the way. She's the leader in the clubhouse, as far as I'm concerned. Awards in a couple months.
Carter just can't stop smiling when Jan calls
me. Me neither. She's the best. She's one of my favorite callers.
Yeah.
And what she's referring to, Joe, I have the sound. And this is what I'm also going to be curious by. Are we going to hold Steve Kerr to this? Steve Kerr, back in May after the season was over, on with Willard and Dibbs, on if Jonathan Kuminga could play eventually with Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, Stephen Curry, all on the court together.
100%. I'm going to give that time next year. Assuming JK comes back, I will explore that right from the beginning. We didn't have that luxury this year. Jimmy arrived and JK got hurt almost at the exact same time. And from the time Jimmy arrived, we were basically in the playoffs. Every game was huge for us. And so while JK was out You know, as I've explained many times, we got really good. We got really good with Jimmy on the floor and JK injured, and we had to continue down that path and keep trying to win every game just to make the playoffs. So next year with a training camp and an 82-game season, absolutely. I will give that lots of time and try to make that fit as best as possible.
And that was back in May, Joe. I'm with Willard Dibbs.
So Aaron Turner just sent out a tweet a little while ago.
Aaron? What did he say?
A-Rock Turner 20. That's the agent, correct, for Kuminga? JK is ready to go. Appreciate all the guys who helped over the last month. We love the support from those that see the truth about JK and love the hate even more. Trust me, all the receipts are being kept. Let's hoop. Hashtag just know.
He got a good chunk of change in this contract, right? Get a certain percentage. Yeah, it's doing pretty good. Should be happy. Trust me, all the receipts are being kept. All right. I hope whatever motivation Jonathan Kuminga needs, he has. I hope he balls out. I hope the Warriors do well because that means it's good for business here as your flagship for the Warriors, 95-7 the game. I hope it all works out for them. By the way, we have a super chat. Alan Day spent $4.99 to say, quote, I would be shocked if Draymond Green, it says Hartford here, I believe he's talking about Al Horford, Steph, Melton, and Jimmy play 50 games together. Free agency was so bad that their free agents were available in October. That's how bad it was. Spent $4.99 to say that. Alan Day.
Well, they didn't have any room to sign any free agents.
How would you grade this offseason for the Warriors?
B minus.
888-957-9570. They made their big move back in February. They brought in Jimmy Butler, and they went all the way to the Western Conference semis. And I get it. You lose your best player in Stephen Curry. It sucks. It's awful. Would you have liked to win a game without him? Yes. Were you going to win that series regardless of Steph gets hurt? I don't know. But from where they were come January to where the season ended, I'm feeling pretty good about this team and their chances. Now, to Alan Day's point, being a little cynical here, I am skeptical about how many games they could play together on the floor and the level of health. And there is something that is concerning I want to get to on the other side.
Is it Aaron Turner?
It's about Jimmy Butler. And it's not about his play on the court, Joe. It's about whether or not he's going to be on the court enough for the Warriors next year. I'll explain on the other side.
All right.
Plus, you have some questions that you want to ask Buster Posey, who's speaking to the media here, coming up shortly. We'll get into that. And the 49ers play a football game tomorrow. Is Brock Purdy playing in it? Well, we'll discuss, and it's going to be brought to you by Pier 39.
Ooh.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Favorites like Festus Ezeli, Zaza Pachulia, Glenn Azubuki, Tim Roy, and our very own Ponte Hill. And again, I mentioned it, your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game on this Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors are taking on LBJ, Luka, in the Lake Show. And if that's not enough, Evan Giddings and Guru are going to be broadcasting live from 12 to 4. It's Hoops, it's Hype, and the season's almost here. Your station for everything Dubs, 95.7. The game. And we just had a great conversation with Nick Friedell, who covers the Warriors for The Athletic. If you missed any of that, find it on YouTube or the Odyssey app, which is also free. You shaking your head. What's up?
Steiny and Goo are ready for a fire show today.
Oh, I thought you started off Steiny and Goo are ready to... I thought it was going to be fight.
I thought that too.
Oh my God.
I literally thought that's what you were going to send it to.
Everyone. I mean, they're just in a great mood, and I was walking back to go to the bathroom, and, you know, of course, I stopped by to talk to them.
Right.
And they're just like, dude, you guys are on fire. I'm like, I know we're on fire. And they're like, dude, thanks. You are a happy person. Wow. I'm like, I know I'm a happy person.
Way to be Kendrick Lamar over there and humble. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Just let me cook. Let me cook.
By the way, the memes about Bad Bunny hosting the halftime show for the Super Bowl are out of control in the best way possible. I'm loving every single one of them. It's great. Give me more. Cannot have more Bad Bunny memes when it comes to him performing.
I didn't know you were just some big Bad Bunny like stan.
I told you I was all in on it a couple weeks ago.
But when did you all of a sudden just became a Bad Bunny guy?
Because he had a concert that was live streamed on Amazon Prime from his residency in Puerto Rico, San Juan.
Why do you have to do that?
I have to. I got to put a little church on it. Shout out Eric. And I was watching the live stream and having a great time. It was a party out there, dude.
Okay, so you were on your couch watching.
No, I was dancing. I was standing.
You were dancing.
I had a drink in my hand like I was there. I was getting
all
into
by yourself, cranking the music up.
Didn't say I was by myself. Let's just say that.
Oh, so you had someone over.
I was over and having a great time. Bad Bunny. If you're not on the bandwagon
swiping?
Yet, jump all in.
Okay, so you're all in.
Yes, you should be too. Uh-huh. The memes I'm all in particular. Are you all in on Brock Purdy tomorrow? That's my real question, Joe. You like that segue?
I mean, I don't know why you did it in that voice.
Are you all? Because
sit down.
I'm concerned that Brock's going to try to force himself to play tomorrow. And this is where you need to protect the player from himself. This is what I said last week. That's what I'm saying now. Brock Purdy, though, he says, I could play. Maybe. Possibly. Not if it was today, though.
Honestly, Thursday night football games are, they come quick, so anything can happen, but I'm still hopeful that I can, so we'll see.
Oh, we got an update on the Warriors, too?
Yeah, we do. The Warriors have officially signed Al Horford.
It's official!
He's back, baby!
Officially now be older than the Clippers.
I said, he's back like he's been here before, but I feel like he's been a Warrior, but not a Warrior for months now.
Well, he was a Warrior. On 2K, nine.
On 2K
when nine. When I did, a fantasy draft.
Yeah, well, he's 39 years old.
You bring up Brock Purdy. This is so fascinating to me. It's if you even suggest to, sit the guy, or maybe he tests it out in the first quarter and it doesn't look great, and then you go to the bullpen, it's you hate Brock! It's dude, no. You know who's one of my favorite players ever?
Who?
I actually love him as a person way more than the guy who's a better football player than him. Steve Young. He's probably one of my most favorite athletes of all time because of his journey and just who he is as a person and all the vulnerabilities and the ups and downs that he went through in his career. They played the Green Bay Packers one year and he had broke his ribs and they're in the playoffs and he tried to gut it out. He tried to go back out there and he had broke his ribs the week prior on a touchdown scramble and the field was wet and muddy and look, Green Bay had his number. He just, for whatever reason, could not get through Green Bay for a variety of years. They tried to gut it out and have Steve start the game, and he went out there, and this is a playoff game, and he had a flak jacket, and again, the conditions were miserable. He played maybe one or two series, and they went to the bullpen. They went to Elvis Gerback, who had filled in for him over a variety of years for a variety of ailments. I never thought Gerback was better than Steve Young, but I did think, you got to get Steve out of this game.
Yeah.
You got to get him out of this game. A hurt Steve Young is not better. That version of him was not better than the healthy version of Gerback. Now, Gerback wasn't good enough, period, because the team also wasn't good enough, period. But you had to save Steve from himself, and you had to give your team the best chance to win. And I just wonder, with Purdy in the state that he's in, given how compromised, I just my eyeballs are telling me the foot is regarding his accuracy and all those things. Mm-hmm. And look, if it's one game and he comes out in the first couple of series, if he does end up playing and he looks good, everything I said will have been a one-off.
Right.
Right. But I do think, even if he starts this game, if he looks erratic early on, I don't think it's beyond reproach to say, no, you know what? We're going to yank you. We're going to go to Mac Jones in this one. And that doesn't mean you're not going to go back to him once he gets healthy. It just means right now, within this game, I think Matt gives us a better chance to win because he's a little healthier than where you're at.
So kind of,
somehow that devolves into, you've never been a Brock guy. You don't support him. You don't think he's the franchise quarterback. No, that's literally none of the things I said. I like Brock, and when he's healthy, he's the franchise quarterback. I don't think he's healthy right now, and so I think we have to use a little more nuance. If he's out there playing and if he is still not playing up to his standard because he still looks compromised, if he's still not accurate, if the offense still looks congested, I think you owe it to the other guys on the team to see if, now this is predicated on Mac being healthy, to see if he gives you a better chance to win. Now, if Mac's also hurt, this is all a moot point. Because now you're going to the drop-off of the third quarterback, and I don't think he's that good. But again, I don't understand why we make these sweeping proclamations. I want the Niners to win. And whoever gives them the better chance to win, who can move the ball and make the offense better, they owe it to themselves to go in that direction.
888-957-9570 is the number to get involved. 49ers-Rams tomorrow, Thursday Night Football. Quick turnaround. Brock said yesterday, if the game were tonight, he could not play. But the game's not tonight. He's got 2 days to get better and feel good. And I was actually kind of thinking about that as you were saying and explaining. I was like, is there a possibility that they have him start this game? Maybe he doesn't feel right and they just yank him, insert Mac Jones. Like, would that be a bad look for you, though? Like, would that be a bad look for Shanahan, for Brock?
Isn't that prudent?
I mean, just tell me he's a game-time decision then.
Well,
right?
No, but like okay, start. Now I know starting pitching's different. Like, it's different from this. But like other positions, how many times have you seen a wide receiver try to go out there and test an ankle, a knee, a shoulder, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 plays in, they're like, you know what? Actually, nope, I can't go. You do it at other positions.
Happens a lot. Hell, Pearsall tried to come back into the game. Exactly. He had like one snap, I think, and was like, nah, I can't do this. And then he came back to the sideline. Another guy that's questionable. As well as Juwan Jennings. I mean, you're looking at this game tomorrow, Joe, potentially against your division rival Rams. Biggest game of the season thus far. Thursday Night Football, prime time. Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, Kaylee Hartung, all of them. Taylor Rooks, I'm just going to keep going. Marshawn Lynch, everyone. No Juwan. No Ricky Pearsall. No Brock. No Kittle, obviously. No Ayuk. No Nick Bosa. And you got Mac Jones starting. Did I miss anyone, by the way?
Here's the part with
Mustafa.
Here's the part with Mac that I so like they took Purdy off the injury list completely for Sunday's game. Again, I'm just using my two eyes. He didn't look 100%. That didn't look like 100%.
They were not putting an accurate report in there.
I wouldn't go that far. It's just maybe he re-aggravated. You know, John Lynch was actually talking about after the second quarter. I mean, he has a specific transcript where he was on with the other station, and he says after the second quarter, he re-aggravated something in the toe. There was not a follow-up on that. And, you know, like, when I heard that, I was like, ugh. That was what we were all worried about. That might have happened had they waited 4 or 5 weeks. That might have happened had they waited 7 or 8 weeks. I don't know. Sometimes you do have to just go out there and test it. And sometimes nobody's to blame. It's just the sport. But, like, knowing that, you do have to be on the lookout as the coach to be like, all right, what gives us our better chance? So now I get to Mac.
Yeah.
Just because Mac was a full participant, apparently, in the last 2 days, doesn't mean that he's not dealing with something either. So, Joe, this is why I go back to you. I think you should be prepared for anything. Brock starts, Brock gets yanked, Mac starts, Mac gets yanked. Like, who knows?
888-957-9570. Did the 49ers mess this up? Did they mismanage setting Brock Purdy out there last Sunday against the Jaguars? Again, I'm not going to keep patting myself on the back saying I told you so, but that's kind of what I was talking about all last week. Both of us were, Joe. I'm not even just saying me. Both of us were very skeptical about starting Brock in the first place because
I was fearful of a setback.
No, we were fearful of this exact thing right here.
Yes, exactly.
This is exactly what we were afraid of and what we'd be talking about, which is right now, the day before Thursday night game against the Rams, it's looking like Brock Purdy's not going to play. If I was a betting man, I don't think he plays tomorrow. I don't think Ricky Pearsall plays. They might not even play Juwan Jennings. And then you're throwing out DeMarcus Robinson. You're throwing out Sky Moore, right? Jake Tongis, Mac Jones. And I like Mac. He's won 2 games, but this is the Rams. This isn't the Saints. This is the Cardinals.
And
this is Matt Stafford. This is Sean McVay.
You know who I'm really worried about, who I don't think we've talked enough about heading into this game? Christian McCaffrey off of a handful of days rest. Where is he going to be? Is this a heavy Brian Robinson game?
I hate being this guy, and it's not on grass. I hate, as we just saw Malik Nabers, as we've just seen all these players getting hurt, artificial surfaces scare the hell out of me. Does it scare the hell out of Bobby and Los Altos? That's what
they
I'm
better get rid of the ball quickly with Jared Verse on that line.
Yes. That's going to be, you know, it's the
quickly.
It's the trenches. We always say, you got to dominate the trenches. Well, the offensive line for sure. And conversely, the defensive line for the Niners got to do something. I mean, oh my God. Just non-existent.
Gotta stop the run.
I mean, they didn't do anything. I mean, Saleh is for his, and I love how Baldy said this. Saleh shouldn't be mad at Liam Cohen. He should be mad at the defensive line. Right, Brian?
Robert Saleh could get all pissy about what Liam Cohen's doing, whatever. I'd be pissed at my defensive line. I think that's what happens when you lose Nick Bosa. You lose a guy that knows how to play the game the right way. With great talent, but great effort. You just can't let that slide. The great players in San Francisco have been Bosa and Fred. We know who they are. And they probably are their hardest working guys. You know, George. And you lose a great player and he's not on the field. I don't know if they have another ringleader there, another alpha dog that can show them how to do it.
And when guys like Bryce Huff are now going to be the one guy that defenses, or I should say offenses, are looking at, saying, all right, well, let's just not have Bryce Huff beat us, and then we're going to be fine everywhere else. Because that's what starts to happen. No Bosa. Who's the next guy up that we have to worry about on the defensive line? Oh, Bryce Huff? Oh, all right, that's fine. Mykal Williams forced him to be an outside guy, which has not been one of his strengths thus far. Yeah, it's not a good matchup. And they didn't do anything. They didn't register a quarterback hit or sack. And if you let, you know, Trevor Lawrence stay upright, yeah, he didn't look amazing, but he still had some great throws and some impressive moments. If you let Matt Stafford be upright the entire game, yeah, there's going to be problems. Matt Stafford, infinitely better as a quarterback than Trevor Lawrence. Not even close.
God, I wish we could get Jimmy G instead of Matt Stafford.
Oh, that's, you're hoping.
I'm not wishing for an injury. I'm just, wouldn't you want to see Jimmy G instead of Matt Stafford?
I hate that that's where we're at as a society, by the way. I'm not wishing for an injury. What we used to say and talk about football.
Yeah, you just take them out.
You're supposed to inflict punishment and pain on the other team. We've become...
I got to hear before I lose my f***ing life. I ain't never been hit this many f***ing times in my career. Every game I get f***ed up.
And they're teammates again. That's Devonta Adams when he was with the Raiders and Jimmy was the quarterback.
Who was the defensive coordinator for the New Orleans Saints who got caught in the playoff game?
Greg Williams?
Thank you. We're going to cut the head off the snake and do something about Frank Gore. Not even talking about Alex. He's like, he'll crumble in the pocket, so don't worry about him. Cut the head off the snake. The snake is Frank Gore. It's 21.
I mean, I know
you're right.
I know you love
that ended up being Alex's greatest game ever.
I know you love the history of the game and obviously one of the architects, pioneers in great sound bites, Al Davis.
The quarterback must go down hard.
Yeah, it's the game, dude. Come on, right, Bobby? Bobby and Los Altos, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Look, last week I called into you guys twice, and I told you the thing that terrified me the most was not Brock Purdy, but the state of Mac Jones' knee. All you dudes did, Mr. 831, all you did was poo me and tell me, you know, Dr. Pandya said there was no problem. And then look what happened. The brother doesn't even dress, or at least he doesn't.
Yes, he was. Hold on. Hey. Wait. He was absolutely cute. Quarterback two, Bobby and Los Altos. He was dressed to play in that game.
Oh, you were right, Bobby.
And no, Bobby, you're not right. Because I think Mac Jones could have played on Sunday, but Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan were like, oh, Brock, you're good enough. Let's toss him out there, eh, Brock? No, Mac Jones would have been a full participant in practice on Monday.
Happy-go-lucky Shasky's got your back, Bobby.
No. He would have been a full participant had they practiced on Monday. Full participant yesterday. Mac Jones could have played on Sunday. You cannot tell me otherwise, Bobby. Continue. And I love you.
I can 100% tell you otherwise because Dr. Bobby made a diagnosis after the Saints game. Oh, I'm sorry, the Cardinals game, and he realized that Mac Jones was injured. So look, here's the main thing. You guys talking about say Purdy from himself. What I'm saying is Brock Purdy has an injury that's probably going to be on and off the entire season.
Yeah.
So now we can't just save Purdy from himself. We got to save his backup from himself. So on this short week, when you have 10 days after this game at a 4 p.m. or excuse me, you know, regular time in Tampa for us. It'll be flexed to a late game. We got 10 days to rest both quarterbacks. So, brothers, we're just going to have to take the L and just do a little bit of load management here. Let's just put the entire practice squad on the
Bobby,
field.
Are you saying go Adrian Martinez tomorrow?
I think we should usher in the pride of Clovis, Adrian Martinez, for tomorrow's game. Listen, we stole the Arizona game. We're 2-0 in the division. I get it. You don't want to lose a division game, but it's an away game on a short week. Have some perspective, man. It's week five. We got a lot of weeks left where we got to have healthy players. And if this is just how it played out and we got to travel and we got 10 days for the next game, let's just take the L.
Bobby, and I appreciate what you're saying. I don't mean to cut you off here, but I have to. That was my mindset last week against the Jaguars, and everyone was saying I was stupid. That was the game like you could lose. Why? It's an AFC opponent. They're not in your division. Like, that loss isn't going to hurt as much as a Rams loss would. I would much rather have Brock Purdy have missed last Sunday and be available tomorrow. I'd be feeling much different about this game. And then if you win this one, it's a different kind of, what would it be, 4-1, right? Math? Yeah. It'd be a different kind of feeling had you lost the Jags game and then you had beaten the Rams and you understand, like, hey, you know what? We took our lump there. We took the L, what have you. Mac, clearly, hey, he was hobbled a little bit, and it is what it is. Let's move on. Short week. We got our quarterback. That was my mindset last week, Joe.
November 5th, 2020, COVID season.
Oh, God.
Does anyone remember that game against the Packers? I'm just asking out loud.
Hold on. Was
November 5th, 2020. It was a Thursday night game.
Yes.
1,000 Niners were out because of COVID and injuries. I'm going to read you the names on offense for the Niners. Who was your starting quarterback?
Nick Mullins.
Yep.
Okay. Was Kyle Juszczyk available?
Yeah.
Okay, Kyle Juszczyk was there.
Registered one catch.
Breida?
No.
Mostert?
No.
Who's
hurt?
Tevin Coleman?
Jerick McKinnon. Jamichael Hasty.
Paper plane McKinnon?
Your leading receiver.
Jamichael Hasty?
Can you get the leading receiver? Anyone?
Hold on.
He's one of my faves.
Sherfield?
Not even close.
Oh, my. 2020. Who was it?
Richie James.
Oh, Richie James!
He went 9 for 184. And we were all like, where's this been?
Oh, my God.
And then your second leading wide receiver, one of my favorite football names ever, River Craycraft.
Oh, River!
And Ross Dwelly. Trent Taylor had a catch in that game.
Oh, the great Trent Taylor. River Craycraft, is he still around these days? Oh, he's on the Commanders practice squad right now, so there's that. I remember he was on the Dolphins because Mike McDaniel liked him. That was the whole point.
A guy by the name of Austin Walter had a kick return.
Austin Walter, not Andrew Walters, the
old Arizona State quarterback now.
No, not him.
That's what this game feels like it's shaping up to be. It's going to be one of those. Remember that game?
What was the score in that game? What was that score?
Oh, let me pull it back.
What was the score in that game?
Because I had to find it.
Carter, did you get my ear to say a little nugget, a little tidbit?
Yeah, but forget it. Save it for Fast Five.
Here it is. Okay. Here it is.
What is it? What
was it the score? 21-3 at halftime. It was 31-3 at the end of three. Niners scored two late touchdowns to make it 34-17.
Oh, much more respectable. I love those late game touchdowns to make it look like it was
Nicky
close.
Mullins, 22-35, 291. I mean, it looked great.
I was going to say, fantasy-wise, maybe it was a baller.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know how down bad I am in fantasy football?
How down bad are
because
you?
Because I know
football?
We have Jonathan Kuminga returning the Warriors. I know that Brock Purdy might not start tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. I know Buster Posey's about to speak to the media about the future of the Giants and their managerial search. I know all that's happening, but we need to take some time to talk about my fantasy football team because that's more important than all that.
No one cares.
I'm down so bad that I might have to start Kyle Juszczyk as my running back.
No way.
He might score some touchdowns tomorrow. Who knows? I'm actually with Bobby. Hey, CMC, take a playoff. Put Juice in there as your starter.
I'm so old. I remember in fantasy one year at the end of the year, there were so many injuries, I had to resort to starting Fred Beasley.
No.
Yeah, we ended up changing some of the bench rules. That's way back in the day. Oh, yeah, I lost that playoff game.
Who had the worst September?
What do we do? Who are we talking about?
Everyone in the Bay Area. Who had the worst?
Okay.
Or not even. I can make the argument Bill Belichick had the worst September. Oh, my God. Remember all the hype for that guy heading into the season? He's done. He's cooked. It's over. I'm putting dirt on Bill Belichick as a college coach. It's over. But you can go Giants. You can go Niners. It can't be the Niners. 3-1. You had a good September, right?
The worst. I mean, the Blue Tent had a hell of a month.
Yeah, that was bad. What about the Warriors?
Nick Bosa's season's probably, I mean, it's, wow. I mean, you know.
Well, Bosa might have had the worst. Yeah, you can go there.
I mean, that's pretty horrible.
Giants, Bob Melvin, did he have the worst September?
I mean, Bob got the severance package, you know? He's not feeling too bad for him.
No?
Nah.
Okay. All right. Just asking the question. It's here in our rundown, so, like, I like to do these things and, you know, be a team player.
I'm wrapping my head around it. Like, I'm trying to think. I don't know. I mean, I thought the Saudis had a hell of a month. Oh, I mean, they got anyone they wanted in fantasy football, whatever it was called, flag football?
Yeah, flag football.
Okay, and then they just bought EA Sports.
Did the game. Wow. Am I going to do that? Am I going to get in trouble, by the way? Is that copyrighted? You might have to dump that, Carter. Might be in trouble.
Trent Williams had a bad September.
That's a good one. Trent?
But, you know, he got paid.
Yeah.
Got to get paid.
He was the highest graded Niner last week. Who had the best and who had the worst September? Now that it's the first day of
September,
October.
September, though they won, one of his starts, like, pretty poor for, like, physically.
Conversely, Mac Jones, 2-0. Feeling better about your backup right now. Although Bobby's very, I love this, Nat, by the way. When have we felt that much concern about a backup quarterback? Ever. Oh, my God, we have to protect him now. Oh, my God, where was this energy?
Like, Trey Lance, 2021.
Exactly.
We thought he might be the future.
Eddie Pinheiro has a stake for best September.
Oh, and then Jake Moody, conversely, the worst. Pinheiro.
Dial down the excitement.
From where we came, I think we're doing pretty well.
So during the game, my cousin Porter, he texts the group thread. He there was a big return, and Pinero's like lined up to have to tackle whoever's returning it, and somebody else tackled him. And my cousin's like, dude, he got so scared of getting wiped out by Pinero in that place. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, by the way, the answer is absolutely and 100%. Who had the worst September? It's the New York Mets. Oh, my God. We haven't. There's been so much happening in the Bay right now, rightfully so, and we're talking about it all. And I'm sure the big boss man's even mad on bringing up the Mets, considering what's going on in the Bay. But you have to just have a minute or two to talk about one of the worst collapses in one of the highest-paying rosters ever seen in our lives. I have no ill will towards the Mets. The Mets have always been in the shadow of the Yankees, so I've always thought they were the plucky underdog.
You know what I would do if I'm the Giants?
My mom's a big Mets fan, so.
If they were serious about moving some of these guys on the infield like I think they should be, the guy, if you were going to look into getting a right-handed power bat as a DH, because it's a Wilmer right-handed, but, like, is there a world, I'm just throwing this out there, where Rafi Devers finds himself at second or third, Chapman goes to the other spot, and Pete Alonso is brought in to add to this lineup, and it's him and Eldridge at first and DHing. Just think about that.
Well, he's definitely not going to be a Met, I'll tell you that. And why do I know that? Because as soon as they were out of playoff contention, he's like, yeah, I'm done. I'm opting out or whatever. There's no chance. Yeah, I'm going to the free agency.
The worst September, by the way, was Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers.
Oh, but he says it's a conspiracy, so it's fine. Sorry, that's fine. It's a conspiracy. That's what he's saying.
I mean, this spineless commissioner, it's just...
Which one? Because you could say the WNBA commissioner had a horrible month.
Yeah, I was going to say, she might have the worst month.
God!
Adam Silver, though. I mean, like, what? You're not going to punish the Clippers?
No, we just had the MVP, Nafisa Collier, call out the commissioner of the WNBA, Kathy Engelbert, in a scathing review of her after Engelbert had the audacity to go at your cash cow and Caitlin Clark, saying, quote, she should be grateful to the league for securing Caitlin with multiple sponsorship deals, as if Caitlin didn't earn that herself with what she was able to do as a Iowa Hawkeye. I could just type in Kathy Engelbert, and year after year after year, it's a player absolutely going at the commish and destroying them verbally. Like, you don't see that when it comes to Goodell. You don't see that when it comes to Manfred. You don't really see that when it comes to Adam Silver. Yeah, there's maybe here and there, there's some chirps or some snide comments, but they're not going at the commish like the WNBA players are going at Kathy Engelbert. She is going to be on her way out of that position very soon. I think reports were this morning from the Sports Business Journal. She's from the, after the next CBA is concluded.
Her name's Engelbert?
It's Kathy Engelbert.
That makes me think about the old defensive end, John Engelberger for the 49ers, who was a huge bust.
Oh, well, so is Kathy, clearly, because she's cooked. Done. Gone.
Engelberger, huge bust. He had three sacks as a rookie. Do you think Mykel Williams will get three sacks as a rookie?
Has he had a sack?
He has a two tackle for losses.
There you go. Still waiting on that.
Off the top of my head.
God, if he could have like a breakout game tomorrow, that would feel so much better. That sounds like I'm asking for a lot, though. Just to have my rookie first round pick to have a breakout game. It's asking for the world. Which sucks because you thought that he would learn under the tutelage and right next to a guy that's a former DPOI, Nick Bosa.
Yeah, but you still got to be able to win one-on-ones and then blow through double teams.
I agree
with
you.
You got to make plays on your own.
I agree with you. Well, that's why I'm very frustrated with what I saw from the defensive line in the 49ers. I know everyone's going to crush the offensive line, and you couldn't do anything, and Trent not. And I hear you on that. It was a poor performance. But if that was a poor performance, this was a destitute performance. This was impoverished. Famine, whatever you want to say. It was non-existent, the defensive line, when it came to touching the quarterback, and that was what was most concerning for me, because if you do that same thing against Puka Nacua, Sean McVay, Matt Stafford, you're going to get torched and destroyed. And conversely, the running game for the 49ers, will it show up? Can it show up? Brian Baldinger has his concerns.
I mean, they're not getting some of the plays that they are used to running, I broke it down one time. Forget about all the motions and shifts. They basically run five plays. They run outside zone, inside zone. They run power. They run a wind back play. I mean, it's based in this set of different formations and sets and things like that. Like I always said that no matter where the run started, it would end up behind Trent. You know, Trent's still a good player. He's not the dominant player that we have seen in San Francisco. He's giving up pressures. He's not the same run blocker. And they're missing Kittle, who blocked the edges better than anybody in this business. I mean, I think McCaffrey's running hard, really hard, but they're just not getting the type of cutback lanes that they're used to getting, where it's just space and they just get these wide open prairies to run behind. It's kind of clogged up in the middle. I don't think Pooney is playing as good as he did as a rookie right now for whatever reason. So they're not as good up front. They got a seventh-round pick at left guard right now that's trying to learn how to play the game. They're not as good up front. I think that's where it starts.
And that's Brian Baldinger, who joins us every Tuesday at 7:30.
They got the Rams tomorrow night. Bucks, Falcons, Texans, Giants, trade deadline, Rams again. I'm going to read that off to you again.
It's a tough stretch.
Rams, Bucks, Falcons, Texans, Giants, trade deadline, Rams again.
You know what?
I'm going to ask you a question.
Yeah, ask it.
You're 3-1.
Yeah.
So you have five games between now and the trade deadline. And that's in between the two Rams games.
Correct.
Do you think they're going to be closer to buying or selling come November 4th, which is the trade deadline?
I think they're going to be buyers because they're going to need to buy something for this defensive line. I believe that. They are going to have to make moves to just get some depth, something. Now, when you started listing off those teams, Joe, every single one of those teams, even the Giants, they got dudes on defense.
Oh, the Giants' defensive line is legit.
They, the Chargers, no one had the Giants beating the Chargers last week with Jackson Dart making his first start. No one had that. Abdul Carter was getting in the grill of Justin Herbert.
Thibodeau looked the best he's ever looked.
Thibodeau looks good. Like, Orange. That is going to be a rejuvenated team that has some hope because they got a rookie now. You said the Texans. Yeah, the Texans haven't looked great offensively. Defensively, they've shown up. And I know D'Amico Ryans. I know D'Amico Ryans knows that he knows Kyle Shanahan's offense too. Why? Practice against it every single day. The Bucs, who's their head coach? Todd Bowles. What does he do well? Yeah. Defense. So like that's what I keep going through. And if you don't have a running game, it's going to make things very difficult for you in the passing game. They're going to be waiting on you. They're going to be dropping back. They're going to be licking their chops for you to throw it. And if you don't have a healthy Pearsall, you don't have a healthy Juwan Jennings, it puts the onus on a guy to come back sooner rather than later. Where's George Kittle going to be at? And that's something. If you tell me that Kittle's going to miss more time, I'm going to understand because you know it's a soft tissue and the guy's older, Joe.
Well, what about Ayuk? Is he going to play before the trade deadline?
That sounds unfair.
I'm not suggesting I'm angry.
I know you're not.
I'm just asking out loud.
If I get anything from Ayuk, it'll be a bonus. I have no idea. The guy got his knee just absolutely shredded last year.
Think about these contracts that they've signed.
I know.
And I would have done almost every one of them. Ayuk, McCaffrey, Trent, Bosa. I mean, Purdy.
The only one that's living up to right now is Fred Warner. And like that,
Kittle,
that's it.
It's just, yeah. God.
And living up to it, meaning he's out there playing at a high level every single game.
I just wonder, and I know people are going to say this is a non-starter. I just wonder, even if they go 2-3 over these next five, right? And that would put them at 5-4.
Take that.
Yeah, I would take that too. That would put them at 5-4.
Absolutely.
Would you feel the call on Trent Williams if the price was right?
Ooh, that's a good question to ask in Fast Five, Carter. What do you think? I do. That's a good
time
one.
For the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
We're not there yet, but I could see a scenario in which that is a possibility, yes. Because as we keep seeing, every single week, there's a new injury that crops up. Just look at, as I mentioned, Malik Nabers. I didn't even mention Joe Alt.
Yeah.
Joe Alt, he's gone. Hey, Colton Miller, a longtime left tackle for the Raiders, high ankle sprain and a hairline fracture. He's probably cooked for the rest of the season, at least more than half of it. Not saying the Raiders and Niners are going to make a trade if the Raiders are going to be that team, but I'm just telling you, offensive linemen and tackles are getting hurt left and right.
Speaking of a little injury update that's relevant to the 49ers, Trey Benson has been moved. The Arizona running back has been moved to IR. We'll be out the next four games.
And what's the other guy's name?
We can monitor. The third string now steps up, Amari DeMarcado.
DeMarcado, number 31. Yeah, he caught a touchdown pass the other day.
I don't mind DeMarcado, but again, you already lost your stud in James Conner, and now your backup Benson. Yikes. Guys are getting tested early. These teams are getting tested early. Man, Marvin Onis on Kyler and Marvin Harrison. Hey, Marvin Harrison stepped up. Happy for Marvin Harrison. Hope he goes and does some things. Not against the Niners, of course, but around the NFL. If you have him in fantasy too, Joe, what's your final thought today?
Why has it been so humid? What the hell's going on? San Francisco, not Florida. Is it just me?
I've been telling you this. I don't like the sticky weather. It's gross. It's upsetting. And I'm tired of it, quite frankly. I'm over it. What is this rain happening? No, I don't like it.
Also, I railed on
the
tickets that they were going to hand out with these cameras. And everyone online's like, no, stop speeding, you jerk. It's not about speeding, all right? If it's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm going 31 miles per hour and I don't see that it happens to be a 20 zone and I get a ticket, I'm getting fined $50. But yet, fentanyl heads everywhere are allowed to just defecate wherever they want, dump their stuff wherever they want, no fine whatsoever. In fact, here's some free needles. Here's a free cell phone.
Preach.
No, like, this is not even political. It's called common sense. Stop squeezing the common man and allowing drug addicts and drug dealers to run society. We are backwards. You're ticketing me for going to work while contributing positively to the community. Meanwhile, those who are sucking all the resources for the real people that deserve them and have zero care about anything other than where they're going to get their next hit from, you're worried about them. It's driving me nuts.
That, I could not be more with you there, Shasky, because I have 11 of those tickets. So
what?
Yeah, 11. What? 11 I've already gotten. Yeah. Because they tick you at right 10 miles per hour over. And at 4 in the morning, like when I come to work, so I have 11 of them.
And they strategically place them in spots where you have to accelerate to go up a hill or as you're coming down at the very bottom. Honestly, when I see Daniel, I love Mr. Lurie. He's trying. I don't think he's perfect. Nobody is. I like him. I'm rooting for him. This is one of my big gripes.
100%.
Also, appoint me in the open, you know, Parks and Rec's position that is available. I would love to take it. I know that Phil stepped down. I would love to have that particular position. Would love to have the city pension for life.
Are you leaving the show to do that, or what's
no, going on? No, I do both.
Oh, you do both. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
The mayor, Willie Brown, had a radio show while he was also mayor.
Oh, okay.
I can do both.
Why not, right? What do you got, Carter?
Yeah, we were talking about whether we thought the 49ers made a mistake or not with Brock Purdy. And I have a little piece that, for me, I think they definitely made a mistake, is why was he out practicing last week? Like, he practiced Thursday and Friday, not last week, the week before, when he wasn't going to play in that game. And they made it clear he wasn't going to play in that game. Like, dude, get in the lazy man, sit there for an extra 6 days. Oh. What do we have him on his feet for at all? And I just think, like, this has been clearly mismanaged to me. It's super frustrating, honestly.
It is. And what sucks is coming? I feel like he's going to be battling this all year. It sucks, dude. It just sucks.
You know what else we're battling all year? Fast Five. And it was brought to you by Xfinity.
Sorry, I took up all the oxygen.
You know what? That's okay. Because introducing the 5-year price guarantee, one consistent internet price for the next 5 years guaranteed, made my life easier because the show's over now. And Stein and Guru next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.